sermons this morning. If you've noticed anything different about the platform, you'll notice that the inmates are running the asylum today. Our pastor is at Joy Baptist Church, Roberts Church, and he's preaching revival up there. Lewis will be preaching in the 11 o'clock service. Brother Ayers will be preaching tonight. You'll get a treat tonight, and you get a treatment in the 10 o'clock hour this morning. So we go to the book of Romans when we want doctrine. The doctrine for the church you find in the epistles of Paul. Just a short overview of the book of Romans. Chapters 1 through 8 talk about church doctrine. The word doctrine very simply means truth. We learn our truth about the church age in the first 8 chapters of Romans. We learn in chapters 9 through 11 that God is not done with the nation of Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. The church age is a parenthesis in God's dealing with the nation of Israel. And we see the past, the present, and the future of the nation of Israel in verses 9 through 11. Chapter 12 through chapter 15, we see the practical part of the book of Romans. It teaches us Christian practice down where the rubber hits the road. Chapter 16 is the conclusion to the book of Romans. At the end of every section in the book of Romans, you will find a doxology. A doxology is very simply a speech of joy. The Apostle Paul pauses, gives thanks and glory and honor to God as he ends each section. The book of Romans emphasizes doctrine and good Christian living. Good Christian living means that you have to be in the will of God. And I have heard the question, and I guess I've asked the question, and most of you have too. How do you know God's will for your life? That's one thing that we all need to know. The successful Christian is the person who finds God's will for their life and follows it. We can't be successful in our Christian life or anything else that we do unless we're, as a Christian, we're in the middle of God's will. Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, talks about being in God's will. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to be in the center of God's will? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Do you want to be in the center of God's will? Is that important to you? It's certainly important to God. Do you want to be directly under the windows of heaven, where the blessings are poured out? If so, how do you find God's perfect will for your life? God has a perfect will for every life that's represented in here today. For every Christian on this earth, God has a perfect will for them. Do you know what God's perfect will is for your life? How do you find it? Is it possible to find God's perfect will for your life? Well, according to the scriptures, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 that we just read, it says that yes, God has a will for your life. It says another emphatic, yes, God wants you to know it. Why would we want to have would we want God to have a perfect will for our life and not let us know what it is? That just makes good sense. Yes, God wants you to know it. And yes, you can prove it to yourself that you are where God wants you to be. Being in the will of God does not necessarily mean change. Probably most of us sitting where we are sitting today are where God wants us to be. We're in God's house. Many of us in the position that we're in are where God wants us to be as far as His will. But I want to look at some things this morning about how to know God's will. First of all, we have to ask the question, does God have a purpose and a will for every Christian? You got to ask that question. If you are not convinced that God has a perfect will for you, you're just whistling Dixie as far as trying to live a Christian life. You can't seek God's will until you are convinced He has one for you. You got to know that. I used to take my boys fishing when I was a little bit younger. And I always got excited when I saw somebody come in off the lake and they had a string of fish as long as your arm. Because that told me there were fish in the lake. We would go fishing sometimes and never get a nibble. I was never convinced that there were any fish in the lake. I used to fish in Granddad's farm pond. And the fish were hungry. Nobody ever fished the pond. And I always caught fish and I loved to fish there. But if there were no fish in the pond, I just wasn't interested in fishing. And if God doesn't have a will for you and I, we're not interested in looking for it. I want you to consider some things. I want you to consider, first of all, God's personal interest in each one of us. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, the Bible tells us that the very hairs on our head are numbered. Now, if you had a ultra strong magnifying glass and you checked the drain in your shower this morning, you could possibly find hair number 34,167 there on that drain. God knew when that hair fell. He knew every one of them because He has them all numbered. Now, for some, that's not so hard to do. For most of us in here, we've got enough that we can count. God has them all numbered. God cares. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. The Bible says that God knows our sorrows. Every time we go through a trial or a tribulation, God writes that down. Psalm chapter 56 verse 8. God saves our tears in a bottle. Every tear that you've ever shed as a Christian is in a bottle, and God has that. In Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says that God knows our downsetting and our uprising. Our thoughts and our ways are known to Him. There is nothing that we do that God doesn't know. There is nothing that we think that God doesn't know. As you read this, and you know that the Bible is God's Word, and God's Word is true, and these things that we just stated out of God's Word are true, don't you think He has a will for your life also? It just makes good sense. Number two, we find that God has a purpose and a will for your life. What is your attitude towards God's will? What is your attitude towards God's will? What is the right attitude towards God's will? In John chapter 7, verse 17, it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. The word doctrine is very simply truth. We will know the truth if we read God's word and seek God's will. We have to ask the question then, do you trust God? Do you trust God that He knows what's best for you? Do you know what's better for you than God does? Do you know and do you trust that God knows what is best for you? Not just good, not just better, but best. God knows what is best. We need to commit to do God's will before we even know what it is if we trust God. The center of God's will is where we need to be. I am not a moviegoer. I don't go to movies. I don't watch movies. But I remember as a little kid, my cousin took me, and he was 4 or 5 years older than I was, to a movie theater in Barberton, Ohio, and we watched Song of the South. How many remember Song of the South? Uncle Remus, Burr Rabbit, Burr Bear, probably one of the first full-length cartoon movies that was ever produced. And I remember the songs in that, and I remember one song in particular, and the rabbit sang it, Burr Rabbit sang it, and he says, everybody's got to have a happy place. And his happy place was in the middle of the briar patch where the rest of them, Burr Fox and Burr Bear and all the other people that wanted to dine on rabbit, couldn't get him. And you know, as a Christian, we all have a happy place. Our happy place is in the center of God's will. When you are in the center of God's will, you are in your happy place. So we need to have the right attitude for God's will. Thirdly, in order to have the right attitude, in order to be in the center of God's will, we need to surrender completely to God. These verses that we just read talk about being a living sacrifice. We are a living sacrifice. You are only as valuable to God as you are available to God. Do you know what the problem with a living sacrifice is? They have a tendency to get up and crawl off the altar. We give ourselves to God down at an old-fashioned altar, and we commit, and we get out, and the devil sits on our shoulder and starts whispering in our ear, and we crawl off the altar, and our commitment's gone. Being available means that we're accessible. Not only do we have to be a living sacrifice surrendered completely to God, but we have to be accessible. We have to have every place in our life, have every area open for God to manage. Now, the problem with many Christians and many of us today, there are areas in our life where we hang a do not disturb sign on and we won't let God in. We have those things that we keep and we hold on to from the life that we had formerly, things that we call pet sins, and we hang a sign on there and say, God, you're not allowed in here. We are not accessible to God. God will clean those areas out. Don't hang a do not disturb sign on parts of your life that you don't want God to mess with, that you want to hold on to. Not only do we need to be accessible, we need to be acceptable. We can't tolerate pet sin. It's there. We have them, but we can't tolerate them. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That word regard is a very interesting word. When we use the word regard, we are saying, we are giving a place to something. When we go to a dinner or something and we have a placemat set there with our name on it, somebody has regarded us and given us a place. You and I as Christians, if we give a place or set a placemat for sin in our life, we have regarded iniquity. We have stepped back and took a look at it and says, I know you're not right, but I am going to leave you here. I recognize your presence. When we recognize the presence of iniquity in our lives, we are to confess it and clean it up and get rid of it. There are a lot of things that hang on that we don't need to carry. In Proverbs chapter 25, or chapter 28 and verse 13, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We need to be acceptable to God. Not only do we need to be accessible and acceptable, we need to be adaptable. We all need to say, as we talk to the Lord, I will go where you want me to go, and I will do what you want me to do, and I will be anything that you want me to be. We have to be adaptable to what God wants us to do. We see many instances of the Bible where God spoke to a prophet and he said, go. And God used that prophet mightily. We see also in the Bible where God spoke to Jonah. And God said to Jonah, go. And Jonah said, no. And the winds began to blow. And the sailors had to throw in order to make Jonah go. And that's what God has to do sometimes to some of us. We need to be available for God to use, and we need to be adaptable. Well, you say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Good question, right? What do you do when you don't know what to do? When in doubt, play safe. Many times God will give you his answer. Where does he give you that answer? He gives it to you from the Word of God. So what do? We read, and then we read, and then we read some more in the Word of God. And God may give you the answer out of the Word of God, or it may not be in his time. Because God's timetable and ours are not the same sometimes. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We need to believe. We need to wait on God. Romans 14 and verse 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his heart. When in doubt, set it out. Wait on God. God will give you the answer in his time. Now, I'm a frugal man, and I appreciate everything I have. But now that I've retired, I don't always dress up every day. And sometimes when we go to the store, I'll ask my wife, how many stops do we have to make? One stop, t-shirt's fine. Two stops, well, I need to put a shirt on. Three stops, dress shirt. If we're making four stops, I need a tie. So we go, we only have two stops to make. We're going to stop at Dollar Tree and we're going to stop at Aldi's, and then it's home. And I pull my shirt out of the closet and I put my shirt on because I don't want to make my wife ashamed. It's bad enough the way I look, but if I'm dressed poorly, I don't want to make my wife ashamed. And we spend our hour or so out, and I come back, and I hang my shirt back up on a little hook in the closet. I will wear that shirt again. It may not be tomorrow, it may not be the next day, but I will take that shirt and wear it again. I have been known to do that with white shirts. Now, in my younger days, I would take that shirt out of the closet and I would look at it and I would ask the question, is this shirt dirty? Jane, is this shirt dirty? You're guilty, I know. I can see it. When in doubt, toss it in the dirty clothes. If you don't know whether it's clean or whether it's dirty, take the safe side. And a lot of times things come up in our life and we have to ask the question, is this dirty? And if we have to ask the question, you need to err on the safe side. Put it in the laundry. When in doubt, don't. I learned something a long time ago. If you're working for somebody, your job is to do what they tell you to do. Is that right, Daryl? The servant's duty is to obey. But if I'm working for Daryl, Daryl's responsibility is to make what he tells me to do plain so I understand it. Now, knowing what he's got to work with, he has to be very plain and very explanatory. Because folks are dumb where I come from. We need a lot of extra explanation. And isn't that the same true with God? Some of us are not as astute as others are. It's God's responsibility to make his orders clear. And it's our responsibility to obey those orders. We are to take what God says at face value. We don't need to interpret it. God's responsibility is to give good, clear orders. Our responsibility is to step up to the window and obey them. Simple as that. If you don't understand what God wants you to do, you get on your face before God and say, God, clear this up for me. I don't understand. Give me clarity on this. Let me know what direction you want me to go. And God will make it clear. Your responsibility is to wait until he does. God will do that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Do you have peace about the matter? There's something that you think that you're led to do. God does not bring uneasiness when he orders us to do something. God's responsibilities and God's commands always bring peace. Sometimes you'll have a situation that you think everything adds up, but you don't have peace about it. There's just an uneasiness about it that you can't put a finger on, and you can't place what it is about it that makes you uneasy. God never brings that. Wait for the peace of God to pass upon you before you make a move. God will always bring peace when you're in the center of God's move. So ask yourself the question, do I have peace about the matter? The next thing we need to learn about being in the will of God, we need to walk in the light that we already have. Byesville, Ohio is an old coal mining town. We have a lot of people from West Virginia, coal mine country. Coal miners had a lamp. I remember many of my uncles worked in the coal mines. And they had a lamp that clipped on their hat. And back in those days, they used carbide. And that lamp didn't put forth a lot of light. We used to go gig and fish in the springtime on the riffles around Guernsey County here. And we would use a carbide light to take us out there because flashlight batteries were expensive. Carbide wasn't. But it didn't give a lot of light. You could see a step or two, and that was about it. Many times, that's the light that God gives us. He give us enough light for the next step. You follow that step. You follow that light. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word will lead you and guide you. The Christian life is a life of faith. And we depend on God to show us where that next step is. Don't expect God to show you His will for the next 5 years if you're not willing to follow today's light. God's not worried about what's down the line for you until you take the step that you are given in today's light. Follow God today. One of the things that most Christians, if they're mature, have learned is that you can't outgive God. Most Christians, as they start out in their Christian life, they'll put the numbers on the pad and they never add up. I cannot afford to tithe. You'll never make that add up. But when you step out by faith and you give God back what is His already, what He's blessed you with, all of a sudden you realize, I haven't lost anything, I've gained. I don't understand how the numbers work, but it works. And then you take the next step of Christian faith, and you say, well, God has blessed me for tithing, and I've got enough money for tithing, but I don't have enough money for missions. But you know, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to give a little bit of missions. And you know, all of a sudden, although the numbers don't work on paper, you always have a little bit left over from that, so you can give a little more. And as you place your faith and your trust in God for that next step, God will bless you immensely, and you won't realize, and you can't add it up. But God blesses those that walk by faith. He just does. Let that light that you have lead you and guide you. Another thing that you can do in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Your desires can help you determine God's will. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight thyself also in His word, and He shall give you the desires of His heart. If you delight yourself in the word of the Lord and the Lord's word, God will give you the desires. Let your desires lead and guide you. If our heart is right with God, God will give us the right desire. Ask the Lord to make His will and your desires the same. Holy Spirit is our guide. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God's will and God's word will always agree. There will never be a difference. We are to seek the lost. We are to seek the lost here. We are to seek the lost abroad. That's God's will. That's God's word. They always agree. If you are helping to seek the lost and doing your part, God will bless you. We know that God's will also is to be faithful to God's house. You are in the right place at the right time on Sunday morning. It is God's will that you be in His house. It is God's will that you hear the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the word. That is God's will. That is God's word. They always agree. We are to return to God a portion of what He has blessed us with. That is God's will. That is God's word. It always agrees. We are also to watch out for unequal yokes. As you and I as Christians have to exist in a world that doesn't like us, that doesn't like our God, that doesn't like our Bible. The Old Testament talks about in the Jewish law, you are not to plow an ox and an ass together. Very simple. They don't match. You and I, as fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, praying, Baptist, work for people that are not the same that we are. We, as fundamental oxes, work for some of the other breed. God bless you if you've got a Christian boss. God bless you if you've got a Christian partner. We are not to line ourselves up with unequal yokes. Friendships. Guard your friendships. A Christian sold out for God cannot be a friend to an unsaved person. Now, let me say this. You can be friendly and you ought to be friendly, but you can't be a friend. A friend is somebody that has the same heart that you have. And a person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior doesn't have the same heart that you have. You can be friendly and you ought to be friendly. And you can befriend somebody, but you can't be a friend. Watch your friendships. Guard your friendships. You are fortunate in your life if you can count on one hand the number of people that are truly friends. Truly heart alike and truly lovers of the things that you love. Guard your friendships. Employment. Watch where you work. There are places that you and I as a Christian can't work. We can't tend bar in a bar. We can't do that. We can't work someplace where they sell and serve alcoholic beverages. We cannot do that. That's Christian. That's just part of separation, the Christian that we have, an unequal yokes. This afternoon, we are going to a wedding. My granddaughter Amy is marrying a young gentleman by the name of Daniel. She met Daniel in church. You say, Sunday's an unusual day for a wedding. Yes, it is. She works for a company that makes eyeglasses. They're closed on Sunday. They're open 6 days a week. Most of the people that she works with are unsaved. In order for them to come to the wedding has to be on a Sunday. They are all invited to the wedding. As the wedding takes place, there will be a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to get saved, because that's the way she and her family are. Her unsaved friends will hear a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven. We have to be very careful about who we marry. She's marrying somebody with the same kind of heart. He's totally and completely in agreement. Watch out for yokes that are unequal. Now, God's will is not always a choice of bad or good. You know, we think a lot of times black or white. Bad, good. That's not always the choices that God has. You may be sitting in a situation right now that is very good and you feel good about. But maybe God has something better. God's choices many times are not between bad and good, but between good, better, or best. What is best? What is the best thing that God can have you do? Most of us are where we need to be. God's will does not always mean change. Sometimes it does. When God called me to preach, there was change involved. I had to go to Bible college. I had to leave the profession that I had been in for many years and go to a place that I didn't want to go and do what I didn't want to do because God had a place to train me. That involved change. But for many of us, it doesn't involve change. God's will may be right where we are right now. We may be right in the center of God's will. You may be already doing what God wants you to do. You may be on the perch that God has set you on, and from that perch, you send the gospel out in your way that God has called you to do it to the people that God wants you to be a witness to. God's will does not always involve change, but God's will always involves success. Success in your Christian walk is knowing what God's will is for your life and doing it. Just simply as that. Stay in the Word. Read your Bible every day. You can't be in the center of God's will unless you're a student of His Word. You've got to stay in the Word of God. Learn it. Study it. Read it, cry over it, pray over it, but stay in the Word. Father, as we close this Sunday school service, we pray, Lord, that each one of us will seek and be accessible to what God wants us to do. We want to be under the windows of heaven. We want to be in the center of God's will. Help us, Lord, to put aside anything that would hinder that. We pray for our pastor this morning as he preaches there in Oroville, Ohio, and we pray that you will bless what he does up there. Be with the people. We pray, Lord, in their service up there, if there be any that have never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, that we'll see souls saved. We pray in our service to follow here today, that we will have visitors that come. We will be a blessing to them. They will be a blessing to us. And we pray, Lord, if there are any in our service today that have never trusted you as Lord and Savior, today will be the day of their salvation. Be with these that have gathered. Help us, Lord, to be conscious that you do have a will and that we want to be in the middle of it. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're on your own for about 15 minutes.